Om Shanti. So this morning we're going to look at one of the points which Baba had given in the most recent Avyakt Murali of 16th March, in which Baba had spoken about the colour of the company of the Supreme Soul. And it is a very well used expression that you are coloured by company. But yet we need to understand exactly what is the method and process of that colouring, how exactly it works. Baba tells us to keep him with us at all times. And how do we do that? How do we know if he's with us, very close to us, or if we have become distant? When we are in body consciousness, then our organs of perception are limited to what we can see and hear and touch. And it's actually a very narrow range of perception. These days, people are very much aware about radiation because of the radiation that is coming from the damaged nuclear reactors in Japan. And the problem with radiation is that you cannot see it, you cannot feel it, and it will kill you. So how do you detect it? You need a Geiger counter. And the human body doesn't have one of those. So it just is a good example for us to understand that there are things that are undetectable, but it doesn't mean that they're not there. And those undetectable things have a huge influence. And so radiation is a very, very good example of that. There are other examples. For example, the sound frequency that can be heard by bats, for example, or dogs, cannot be heard by humans. And so we think that whatever we can hear, that's all that's audible. So we assume that if we can't hear it, it doesn't exist. But we have machines that can detect sound frequencies that are very high frequencies or very low frequencies. If you have very low frequencies, I think something like 7 cycles per second, you create that sound, you can kill people. And this is used in war. You just kill people by a low frequency sound. If you're a bat, you can hear, you can communicate with other bats, and nobody will know what you're saying because humans can't hear it. But we do have machines that can detect these things. In the same way, we cannot see X-rays or gamma rays or any of this, but they're there, you know. There are many cosmic rays that are reaching to us from the sun. We can't see them, so you don't know that they're doing anything. You can't see the ozone, if it's there or if it's not there. You know? So you don't process what you can't detect. And therefore the intellect in body consciousness is severely limited to whatever you can detect by the unaided sense organs of the human body. But we do have an intellect. And the intellect has the capacity to process information that is over and above the material or the information that comes into the brain and the soul from the sense organs. And so when Baba is talking to us, he's telling us not to be limited by our sense perceptions, because the sense perceptions exist so that we can operate in the everyday physical world. But the everyday physical world is not everything. And so what we have to do in spirituality is to extend our range. And one of the instruments of perception that we do have is the human mind. The human mind is an instrument for perception. And how do you know that? We say, oh, I experience peace, or I experience love, or I experience bliss. You cannot experience those qualities through sense organs, but you can experience it directly through the human mind when we apply what we call intuitive powers. Sometimes the intuition is called the sixth sense. So we have our five senses for the tangible matters of everyday reality. Then we have the sixth sense for more intangible things. You can feel atmospheres, vibrations. You know, if you walk into a room and people have been talking about you and they change the subject, you'll feel it in the atmosphere, right? So that's your intuition. Because you can't hear it with your ears or see it with your eyes, but you feel it with your mind. But because it is such a subtle organ of perception, people can't really pin it down too well. And some people have it to a greater extent than others. For example, it's often said that intuition is a feminine thing. So women have it, men don't have it. Actually, it's not true. Men have it too, but maybe the women use it more or develop it more than men who are socialized to be very grounded and are expected to deal only with scientific reality, whereas women are free to go off into other dimensions, perhaps. Now, when we when we want to develop ourselves spiritually, one of the things we find quite quickly is that our intuitive powers do get enhanced when we start meditating. And we are able to feel things that previously we couldn't feel. For example, when we start to practice the Raj Yoga as taught by Brahma Kumaris, we are told that we have to be vegetarian. And if you are non-vegetarian and you switch over to vegetarian on the basis of following Baba Srimat, usually you find very quickly that you start strongly disliking anything to do with meat, onions, garlic, fish, poultry, alcohol, cigarettes, etc. You find that you don't like them, that you are disturbed or distressed by their smell, or if you by mistake ingest a little slice of onion, you will experience waves of anxiety, so that your body becomes extra sensitive to these things once you start to meditate. This is a phenomenon that many people report. And I think that we can say perhaps it is a gift from Baba to help us to understand that we should not use these things, we should not ingest these things, because they are actually toxic for a body and soul that's in the process of the purification that we do through Raj Yoga. If you just hear about it, you may not believe it, but if you feel it viscerally in your body, then you tend to say, yeah, he's right, I'm not going to eat this anymore or ingest this anymore because it's awful. Have you felt that? And so it's this actual feeling, along with the knowing, that gives us the impetus to actually follow these new ways very quickly. And you find that Brahmins can, for example, the question of cigarettes, you know, you may be a cigarette smoker. Nowadays, much less people do it, but 30 years ago, everyone was addicted to tobacco. And it's one of the most difficult things to give up. Very few people can actually give up cigarettes. But once you've had a couple of meditations, you're so sensitized against tobacco that you give it up very quickly. And so it is that something happens to us in terms of our sensitivity or sensitization once we begin to have contact first with ourselves as a soul and secondly with Baba, things change. Our response to the material world actually changes. And then he says, well, you have to be celibate. And you may not be celibate up until that time. And you may say, oh, no, it's not necessary for meditation. What difference does it make? But yet, many people find that as soon as you have connection with yourself as a soul and with Baba, the Supreme Soul, then at the level of the body, let alone the mind and intellect, you feel, yes, this is correct, this is necessary, I must do this. Even our system of taking a bath, you know, every time there's a bowel movement, we take a bath. Every day we change clothes, we take a bath every morning. We wouldn't go into class without taking a bath. And we feel that all the other people who are non-BKs are very smelly, sweaty, animal-like, you know, atmosphere coming from them, and they smell of meat and cigarettes and alcohol, and we don't like that anymore from one day to the next. So somehow the experience of meditation changes us at that level. And when we have contact with the self as a soul and contact with Baba, that's also called company. And so this first experience when we begin this practice of Baba's company is that it changes our sensitivity, or it resets our sensitivity to something that never was there before. Or perhaps you might remember as children tend to be much more sensitive and they don't like certain things like this. But and you get as you get older, you start liking things that are not good for you, whereas children tend not to like things that are not healthy because they're more pure. So this thing called purity and purification is very intangible, very invisible. And something happens when an impure human soul with its impure human body makes contact with people who are practicing purity, and Shiv Baba, the purifier of the impure, something happens. There are some examples. There is a stories about something called the Philosopher's Stone. And you know, in the Murali, Baba speaks about Paras and Pathar. So Paras is actually this diamond, which when you put it in contact with another material object, it will change it. And so Shiv Baba, one of the titles of Shiv Baba is Parasnat. And in English Murali you find it's translated as divinity. And so you can't figure out what it is from that translation. But if you go a little further and look at exactly what this Paras is, you will find that it corresponds to what we have in the English tradition as the Philosopher's Stone. Now, of course, a philosopher doesn't need a stone for any particular purpose. But the intellect is symbolized by either a stone or a diamond. And the difference between a stone and a diamond has to do with the opacity of the item. So the speciality of diamond is that there is absolutely nothing to obscure your vision. You might have seen, you must have seen, in Shantivan, we have the memorial of Dadi Prakash Mani. And they decided to put a oval form made of glass. And I think when they made that decision, they forgot that it would be green. Because if you look through a glass window, it's very thin, so there's only a very slight amount of green color, which comes from some attribute of silicon mixed with certain chemicals, so that glass is not all that transparent. Excuse me. The diamond, completely transparent. If you could find a piece of diamond that was a meter thick, you could still see right through it. So this is the speciality of diamond, absolutely clear. So the paras buddhi is the intellect that sees everything with absolute clarity. That means that you would not fail to see something which is there. Whereas a stone is completely opaque, you cannot see through a stone. And as the stone becomes more and more crystalline, you can progressively see more and more clearly. So Shiv Baba has absolute clarity. Shiv Baba has... He's called Sarvashaktivan. So Sarvashaktivan means that he is the omnipotent one. He has all the powers. He speaks to us about the eight powers of yoga. So if he is the one with all powers, that means he has all the powers to a complete extent. Now, why does a person become false, or why does a person become opaque? It's because they are lacking, to some extent, in the powers. And the greatest power of all is the power of truth. And people generally say, yes, we want the truth, we like the truth, tell me the truth. But when it comes to it, what we find in practical reality is people have a serious dislike of truth. Because if the truth were known, they may be embarrassed or more. Right? But people are not happy to be transparent. Shiv Baba is completely transparent. He says, I am God. If you don't like it, it's not my problem. Your problem. I don't mind being God. I'm very happy to be God. In fact, I can only be God. And nobody else can be God because I am God. And you are not God, but you are my children. Well, you think that I am omnipresent because you are unable to process your sensory input and arrive at accurate conclusions. So a human being may be having a divine vision or something like this, and they will feel something and they'll say, oh, it is God. Wherever I look, I see only God and God. Or if they maybe find a way to have an experience of nirvana, they say, oh, this is God. I see. But it isn't. So, but on the basis of a sensory perception, if you say God is light and you go into a place of light, you do not have the ability to distinguish between the world of light and the point of light in the world of light, because you cannot distinguish, because they're not tangible realities. And only when Sri Baba says, I am the point of light, living in the world of light, which is outside of the dimension of matter, and which you can go to only on the basis of my instructions, and you can interpret only because I give you adequate information. And you cannot discover that information by trying to detect it with your own sensory mechanism or your own intellectual mechanism, because it's faulty. Faulty in the sense of it is a little opaque. And so the conclusions that a human can derive from their faulty mechanisms will be faulty. So the color of Baba's company comes in different ways. One aspect of company, if you think about people who you spend time with, you become influenced by their attitude, by their persona, by their ideas, beliefs, by what they do, by what they say, by how they think. And you have a tendency to agree with them. If you want to go away from someone's company, it's because you don't agree with them. If you are drawn to someone's company, you agree with them. Because like attracts like. So impure people attract other impure people who are similarly impure. And people who have experienced particular types of experiences, like you may have a cancer survivor, they will be attracted towards other cancer survivors because the other cancer survivor will understand them and know what they've been through. So they have some common language and they will support one another by the color of the company and by the company. So now Baba told us that he gives us his company and that the color of his company causes us to become elevated. So we need to understand how that mechanism works. Because it is a mechanism, though it's not a physical mechanism, it's still a mechanism. Now when you have Amrit Vela, it's very important to be awake. Otherwise you miss it. You may be sitting there, but it doesn't do any good. Okay, you get a present mark, but only partial, because you are there in body, but not the rest. But he has told us that the period in any time zone between 4 and 4:45 a.m. is reserved specially for his children. So that means that when that particular moment of time occurs, he will upgrade the volume on the vibrations or sakash that he is sending out, and it will be specifically directed at his children, and it comes in the form of an invisible, intangible energy of light. And what you have to do at that time is be so detached from your body that you're able to be focused on that to the point where you can absorb that light, and you have 45 minutes to do it. You know that, right? And then Baba had given an example through a message to Daddy Jenki that because she is very particular about the Amrit Vela and about the evening 7 to 7:30 meditation, this meditation acts like oxygen. So I'm sure that many of you have had oxygen for some reason or another. Maybe could be cosmetically or surgically. If anybody has some problem with their lungs, they're given an oxygen mask. So if you have this pure oxygen coming into you, it's going to do a number of things. One of the things it does is to cause the cells of your skin to repair themselves and to have greater elasticity and to be in better state of health. And so beauticians will spray the ladies, probably the men also, who are very concerned about their facial look with oxygen, because it'll be kind of better. And then the other thing that oxygen does is it will reduce pain. So that some people in their process of pain management, some people have chronic pain, that they learn to use deep breathing methods to actually bring oxygen to the place in the body where there is pain, and this will reduce the pain. So oxygen is very, very good for us physically, but it's very, very subtle. And so when you are taking in the sakash, the energy, the light of Baba, it's actually sort of resetting you physically in terms of your subtle body energy and your soul itself, I see. And so what has happened to the human soul from the point in time that is called the beginning of the Copper Age, when the soul became body conscious, then the soul began to be locked in matter, or subservient to matter, or trapped in matter. And from that point on, the soul cannot leave the body by its own wish. In the Golden Age and Silver Age, you have a thought, a moment of recognition where you say, okay, now I'm going to die, I will leave my body now. And you do, by your own volition. Whereas from the Copper Age onwards, death takes you. And this is why there is such a thought or such a word as death. And because you do not leave the body by your own volition, but by the will of some external force. And so the word death arose. But in the Golden Age and Silver Age, and even in the Confluence Age, we don't say death. For death, we say somebody leaves Baba, that's death. But if somebody leaves their body, we don't call that death, we call it, you know, leaving your body, or going into Baba's lap, or going to the, you know, subtle region, and then going to your next part in drama. But we don't call it death, because there isn't such a thing, I see. So when you come into the trap of matter, you simultaneously come into the trap of Maya. So Maya is the effect of matter on the soul in terms of emotions. And so when you are colored by the company of matter, it also means that you're under the influence of the five vices. When there is no influence of matter, then there's no such thing as the five vices. It doesn't exist. And so one translation of the word Maya is that which doesn't exist. So when you are in soul consciousness, then your body is influenced by you. And when you are in body consciousness, then you are influenced by your body and your physical instruments of perception. What you see, what you hear, what you touch, what you smell, all these things. So Baba, the Supreme Soul, you'd have to ask me questions at the end, okay? So you keep it for that. So Baba comes onto this earth at the time when there is an extreme in the world. So there is the extreme of the force of evil or the force of negativity, which is the accumulation of the thoughts, words and actions performed by the totality of the global population under the influence of matter and Maya. You see, which creates an atmosphere. And that atmosphere, in turn, influences those who create that atmosphere. So you get into what's called a vicious circle. You cannot come out of it. The only way you can come out of it is if there is an influence from an extraterrestrial source. And Shiv Baba is extraterrestrial, right? He comes from Paramdham. One very important aspect of Shiv Baba is that he is immutable. Immutable means no change. So in Hindi they say asochta, akarta, abhogta. Means he doesn't think, he doesn't do anything, and nothing affects him. And so the effect of this one tiny soul who knows all things and who has all power to the maximum extent is so vast that it can alter the condition of the universe. And many people, they have a hole in their soul as big as the universe. You may experience such a thing at some time, where the soul is so empty, so depleted of its spiritual potency, and the light, that is the spiritual energy in the soul, is so dim that it will do anything and everything to prey upon people, places and things to get some energy. And whatever it is that you get from whatever or whomever, it will not make any difference to the size of that universe-size hole in your soul. But when you connect with Shiv Baba in the consciousness of the soul, detached from the body under his instructions, then you begin to fill the hole in your soul. So people with a hole in their soul, they have very heavy-duty attachment and dependency problems, because they're trying to feed on the energy of other humans. Whether it's a wife feeding on her husband, or a husband feeding on his wife, or both parents feeding on their children, or whatever it happens to be. You see, this is called attachment. It's an emotional dependency where you cannot live without, it's a bit like a vampire, just taking their blood in the form of their energy. You see, but everybody does it so they think it's quite all right, but it's not. And you get a variety of totally empty people preying upon each other, and then it doesn't create anything other than multiple forms of emptiness. So it's very, very depressing and distressing. So it's connected with depression. And depression is when you're very, very, very empty, you see. So when people pray in the path of bhakti, they are connecting to a memory of Baba from the previous cycle, or they can be sometimes connecting to a pure soul at the time when the soul was pure, as in a religious founder, or in Hinduism, some of the deities. And they may experience temporary relief from this state of emptiness. But because it's only a shadow, it's only a memory, they cannot actually take power from it. And this is why the path of bhakti doesn't actually change the direction of decline that takes place from the Copper Age all the way through to the Iron Age. And at this time, because there is very extreme materialism and that religion has been discredited, or it's something very much to do with superstition, blind faith or fanaticism, and because of the new religion of science and materialism, people try to take energy from their computers or their iPhones or their various different gadgets, or some status symbols, or from an accumulation of money or status or any of this type of thing. But likewise, it doesn't work. It may give you a temporary feeling of relief, but it doesn't actually restore the power of the soul. So the company with the Supreme Soul is compared sometimes with osmosis. And if you would take an almond and put it in a glass of water overnight, you will see that it grows because the water is absorbed into that almond. And you can do the same with a stick of celery, which is flopping, and then by the morning it'll be rigid and standing upright properly and crunchy to eat because it's absorbed water, you see. So it's quite a good example that the water is on the outside of the almond, but the skin of the almond is semi-permeable, and so it's able to absorb the water given enough time, and then it fills out and becomes bigger size almond, and it's proteins and all get activated. And this is why sprouts are very good for you, because they're at their maximum nutritious point when you eat them. So we like that. Now, similarly, the soul, when it's in company with the Supreme Soul, you can absorb the energy, the qualities from the Supreme Soul. But our body, our skin, our consciousness and identification of ourselves with this body makes us impermeable. So that even if Baba would be right next to us, if we are body conscious, we can't absorb anything, you can't feel anything. So this is why he has taught us that if you want to take benefit from my company, you have to remove this impermeable aspect, which is called body consciousness. And then he gives us an analogy for that, which is a very simple one, the analogy of an electric-powered thing, like a light bulb. And if you want the light bulb to go on, you have to bare the wire of its insulation and then stick that wire to a connection to the powerhouse or the source of electricity, then only your light will go on. And so, because the soul is like a light, you will feel a current of energy when you are plugged in to Shiv Baba, provided you have removed the insulation of body consciousness. So that's a very easy to follow analogy. It's quite crude, and now because of the advance of electronics since the 1930s, we can understand much more subtle examples. Like, for example, we have a Bluetooth connection. You know about Bluetooth connection. Well, some of you might not know that, but a Bluetooth connection, you can connect two electronic devices through this Bluetooth thing, and you just activate it in both sides and then you're connected. Or some of you will use a Wi-Fi connection to the internet, and you just turn on your Wi-Fi and then internet is connected to your laptop without any wire, you see. So it means that in the 1930s people could not conceive of connecting with something without a wire. But since the, I don't know, 80s, 90s or whatever, we do lots of things without a wire. We have our little remote and we click for our television, change of stations or change of volume or whatever we want to do. So we're very used to the communication, wireless communication. So we can also have wireless communication with Baba. But Bluetooth is a good example, because Bluetooth has to be turned on both sides, and then you have a connection. And so we can understand that the color of company is the effect of the connection. No, the impact of the connection. So if we're connected with Shiv Baba, one thing is that our connection has to be stable. If your connection is not stable, or if you are trying to talk to somebody on your mobile phone and there's a mountain in between you and the origin of the signal, then you'll lose your connection. So you want to be somewhere where you have a straight line of sight between your device and the instrument that's going to allow you to continue to use your connectivity, your telephone connectivity with someone. And information that comes to you, like verbal information that comes to you, written or spoken or on some kind of electronic little screen, is going to affect you. So part of the color of Baba's company is you expose yourself to his thoughts. How you do that is by listening to the Murli. So Baba's been giving us a lot of encouragement to listen to the Murli every day. Because when you listen to the Murli in the gathering, there's already meditation that has happened before that, because you want to prepare your mind to receive material from the mind of God. And because he does not speak to you as a body, he speaks to you as a soul. And Daddy Janki this morning was saying he calls us his sons. Regardless of whether we have a female or a male body, the Son of God is the soul inside any type of body. So he is speaking to us, the soul. And what that means is that if we are not soul conscious, the concepts that are presented in the Murli cannot enter our mind, because there'll be a blockage or an insulation that prevents us from taking it in. That's when the intellect is in the orientation of body consciousness, is unable to absorb the information that comes from the mind of God. Or it will take it in a very negative way. So one example of this is the impact of certain chemicals on gold. One of the ways in which, maybe not nowadays, but in older times, how they would test for gold is by putting some hydrochloric acid on it. And if it would fizz and turn green and whatnot, then you would know that this has either got a lot of alloy in it or it's not gold at all, because hydrochloric acid will react very corrosively on anything other than gold. But if you put pure 24-karat gold into a little glass of hydrochloric acid, nothing will happen. And so the Murali acts on the soul also like hydrochloric acid, because on the one hand he's purifying us, and on the other hand he's testing us to see how pure we're getting. And so that if we're listening to the Murali and we are following all of his Srimat in the way that he has told us to, and we prepare ourselves and we go into meditation, and we actually listen to the Murali in a soul-conscious and meditative mentality or attitude, then the Murali goes right in. And there may be some aspects of the Murali to which you will react very strongly. Have you experienced that? Every so often a point comes and you absolutely hate it, or it makes you cry, or it makes you angry, or wants to run out of the room, or you fall asleep. You don't know what it is. This is where the hydrochloric acid of the Murali is touching an element in the soul that is impure, and so it's going to corrode it and make it disappear. And for that, we have to have the eight powers. And the eight powers are ways or specialities or weapons or instruments that are given to the soul to enable the soul to endure the harsh impact of a corrosive chemical, so that some purification process can take place. Do you see what I'm saying? And so in this way, you are getting altered by the color of Baba's company at the level of listening to his words, right? In a Murali. Because all other words that you can hear are human words. You can't hear any words from any animals. They don't do words. So words are human things. We have all different languages, but they're all human. And all of our languages are based in an assumption that we are human bodies. So we do not have a pronoun for a soul. We do not have a pronoun for God. And we say he or she. Actually, a human body is an object. So they should all be it. You know? It. But no, we say, I am a female or I am a male. This is incorrect. So the language assumes something which is false. So when Baba talks to us, he has to use human language. But he is not limited by human language in the way that we are. So when we expose ourselves to the ideas that come from his mind into our mind through our sense organs in a soul conscious state, then we can experience the depth of their meaning corresponding to the degree to which we are soul conscious and the extent to which over time we have gradually become pure. So this is why we can be listening to the Murali for 74 years, 75 years, and still it is doing its work. And the Murali itself is also in code. So you have many, many different layers and levels of it. It's necessary to churn it. And when you churn the murli, then your mind and intellect are being reoriented and they're starting to function differently from how they function in body consciousness. So the color of the company of Baba's words changes the way in which our intellectual processes function. And it also changes our interpretation of words which have a load on them, or words which have an emotive effect. So when he says love, we will understand it differently than how you understand love in body consciousness. And as you continue on a daily basis to absorb his knowledge and to churn it, then you actually change yourself under the stimulation of his initial impact in the murli. So the murli will go in the morning and it'll be operating throughout the day. And by the end of the day, if you are using the murli as it can be used, you will have made some distance. You will have moved from one condition to another condition. And the murli is the most tangible interface between a soul and God, because everything else is very, very intangible. And each and every BK meditates differently. This is a very subjective, it's a very personal thing. And nobody meditates the way any of the meditation commentaries go. Nobody. So we do that. I don't know why we do that, but we do it. Nobody meditates that way. You have your private conversation with Baba, but you also have a form of meditation where you connect yourself with Baba, having developed a contact through churning, through thinking, through focusing, through discussion, through any relationship, and eventually you get to a point where you're locked on. And you're locked on to Baba. You're concentrated. Very few people actually get that far, but it's a good thing to do. And so you have to figure it out. Because only when you're locked on can you then open up. You see, because if you open up when you're not locked on, you're still in the material consciousness. So you have to lock on and then open up. And then you experience what he calls the rays. And also you get pulsations. And so these two forms of energy that come to you from Shiv Baba carry with themselves his energy. And once you're locked on and you open up, then you can actually absorb it. And this changes you to the maximum extent and actually energizes you fully. But not that many people can do it, because you have to really think about it and really work on it. Sometimes it takes quite a while. And this is one of the reasons why we like to do bhati. Because if you're doing a bhati and you're meditating for hours together, you have enough time, if you know what you're doing, to actually get yourself to that point. But you also have to deal with a lot of reaction. So on the one hand, you have the magnetic force of Baba's company that pulls you to himself so that you're locked on and you can then expose yourself to his rays and his pulsations and his energy. And then on the other hand, you have the very strong magnetic force of matter and maya that is activated by your remembrance of Shiv Baba. I see, but you will see. I have a traffic control and try this out. Om Shanti. So one phenomenon is drishti. What is drishti? When the soul is connected with Shri Baba, looking through the eyes to another soul who is connected with Shri Baba, it activates that flow of energy, and there is an enhancement or intensification, and this is used by all of us for different purposes. And if you are in a good stage of connection with Baba and you are giving drishti to someone, that person can feel what you're feeling. And so we use this when we want to help people to get connected so that they can actually have an experience of what this is about. And once they've had an experience and felt it, then they kind of know what to do to get connected. Now when Baba comes and he is looking at us through the eyes of Dadi Gulzar, or in Sakar Baba's days, when Shri Baba would come and give drishti through the eyes of Brahma Baba, then they would experience a current, like an electric current, and they would use this word current. Nowadays we use this word sakash. And even now, Baba is telling us, above and beyond drishti, you can be in connection with Baba and you can radiate energy, which should be able to encircle the earth, so that it's potentially able to encircle the whole earth, and that you can actually radiate any place, anywhere, anyone by your concentration and then the subsequent radiation that occurs through that, you see. But you can't do that if you have any waste thoughts. And so this is why Baba is giving us the experience of when Baba comes through his allocated body, then he will shoot you with those rays and hold you in a state of concentrated soul consciousness. And this is why it's comparable to an injection. I see. He injects the soul with that energy, and then you get what it is that's brought, peace, purity, love, all of these things. And very many people will experience that they will see, you know, the big light shining from the forehead of Dadi Gulzar when Baba is giving drishti at the beginning of the meetings, you see, because the full force is there. And if you're adequately soul conscious, you can catch it. And through what is called divine vision, you can see it. As the human being is so sensorially oriented that you can't understand it unless you see it. I know. But once we have understood it, then we don't need to see it. And this is also the case with visions. You know, Baba can give anyone a vision. And when you get a vision, it's so impactful that you don't forget it. But you don't need a vision every 5 minutes, because like incense, you know, once you smell it for a second or two, it's the strongest, and then it kind of fades away because your sense organs get used to it. So once you've got the message that, yeah, there's a nice fragrance, you don't need to keep having peak experiences, because the purpose of the peak experience is to understand something. And so this is sometimes called buddhi yoga, you know, the yoga of the intellect. Once you can understand something, then you know what to do. Anyway, you can see that we can go into lots and lots of details, and I could go on for a couple of hours more, but I know many of you have questions. So I'll stop now. Of course, I haven't covered everything at all, but I know you have some burning questions. So maybe we could have a microphone, and if anybody has a question, you can just put it on the microphone, and then I will give my comments. So I know you had your hands up.
Hi. Sometimes I feel I'm lost in my thoughts, and I have difficulty to get to have yoga. For example, this morning, beginning of Amrit Vela. And when I start connecting, so it's a bit weird because I feel it's kind of body consciousness, but when I listen or feel what's happening in the body, like I can hear the pain or anger and discuss that with Baba, it's as if it's much easier than to connect. So it's a bit weird because it's using the body, but it's then much easier to get connected. So what is it really?
Connection is very subtle. And okay. He teaches us to think, to use thoughts. And our mind is very connected with our body. We have to use thoughts to bring ourselves gently into a state where we are actually beyond the body. Some BKs, they will prepare themselves for Amrit Vela the night before. And we find that this is quite effective. Baba tells us also that we should check our chart the night before. And to actually empty ourselves or wind up everything that has happened that day, which we've experienced in our body and through our body, so that is then gone into that day's drama. And sometimes we practice to, in sleep, actually go to Paramdham, back to before anything ever happened, you can say. So that when we arrive in an awakened state, say 3:30 in the morning or whatever, we're already ready for Amrit Vela. Then we take ourselves gently over to where we're going to sit for Amrit Vela. And then we haven't really come all the way down. So we haven't got as far as the body. You're just kind of hovering near the body, as it were. And then it's very easy to be very conscious as you go up to Baba and connect with Baba. But he also says, have sweet conversation. Sometimes he has said, and recently it has come in Daddy Jenki's classes, sit in front of the picture of the tree and the picture of the cycle and think about, review the whole knowledge that Baba has given during Amrit Vela. This will give you a very, very good experience, you know. And so as I said, everybody meditates differently. And of course the soul and body are all the time working together. And as you continue over the years in Gyan, the way that you do your Amrit Vela will change. And you have to do a lot of experiments because each one is different in so many ways from the next one. Some people are very relationship oriented. Some people are very intellectual oriented. Some people are very sort of geometrically oriented. And you have to understand yourself. And having understood yourself, then you understand how you relate to Baba. Because your relationship with Baba is intimately connected with the bhakti that you have done for the previous 63 births, and you can't remember that, but you have the sanskaras of it. So gradually in your development of your Amrit Vela, you will start to, you know, do things differently. You may be satisfied with one way for a while, and then after a while it's no longer of interest and you develop another way. It's a constantly evolving process, because a relationship that's a lifetime relationship goes through many, many different phases. Yeah. Anybody else have any question? No question. Did you understand? Yeah, so come quickly to the mic, as we have about 15 minutes before we have to stop.
I was remembering in a recent Murali about Baba was talking about divine intellect, and I was connecting that to divine vision, and maybe the connection between the two where you differentiate.
You remember that we have a picture of Sri Baba with 32 rays, and in each of the rays something is written. I don't know if you still have it in English, but in Hindi it is there. And one ray says bestower of divine vision, and another one says bestower of divine intellect. Now, when you understand something, you say, I see what you mean. And so actually having a visual phenomenon can help you to understand the concept. But we also use the word seeing for meaning directly understanding something. And sometimes Baba says, if you just have a vision of a dot, you won't know what that is. Because what's a dot? You don't know. I remember it happened to me before I came in Gyan. I had a lot of visionary experiences, and one of them was this intense, bright, light little dot which was exuding rays and vibrations of bliss. And I said, what is this? I have no reference point for a thing like this. I said, send me a priest, I need explanation. So then along came Daddy Janki with endless explanations. So it was very, very good. But you need explanation. And this is why Baba gives knowledge. And this knowledge enables our intellect to perceive or comprehend existence, the creator and the creation, in a completely different way. You know, the mindset of the world is scientific, which in comparison with the spiritual perception is very gross and very limited, you know. And for us we say, how come they can't understand what we understand? And for them they say, what are these people talking about? So there's really a huge difference in the way the intellect operates. And so we're very, very fortunate that we're actually able to understand what Baba's telling us. I think this is a really divine gift. And it can only be because we used to be deities. So we're still deity souls. And I think that there's a fundamental difference between a deity soul and a soul who just came after the copper age, that they can't actually understand God. And we, somehow or another, can, number-wise, of course, but it's a very, very strange phenomenon that we are very used to, but for somebody who can't, they can't figure us out. We're probably nutters, you know. Yeah.
My question was, you spoke earlier about intuition and through meditation, how that changes. And I wonder, what do you use to measure if your intuitions are actually accurate and it's not mixed with your own body consciousness and feelings from that? What measure do you use?
Baba talks to us about a system of verification. Because it's very easy for us to spin off into fantasy. And so in Raj Yoga, in Gyan, we have to be very grounded so that we can go way beyond the end of the known universe and still have our feet on the ground. So if you do have an intuition that corresponds and gives you greater depth of understanding or breadth of understanding of something Baba has already spoken about, then you can say that that intuitive sense or realization amplifies what you understand intellectually. And sometimes you may have something that you're not sure of, and then you speak to a more experienced Raj Yogi or Dadi about that, and they can say, yes, this is real, or no, you're off in fantasy land, you know. I remember one time, many, many years ago, and you know that I have been under Daddy Jenki's guidance for all of my Brahmin life, and once she was saying to us, she said, your yoga has to be here, from top of your head, not here. And so it's as if you have like a flame on the top of your head, which is able to scoot up to the soul world when you want to just take straight power, straight in, you know. So you do a lot of churning here, but then you have this, you know, laser beam that goes up like that. Then you have things here, you know, Baba's in your heart, or somebody else is in your heart. So you cannot have Baba in your heart if you've got junk in your heart as well, because he needs a clean place. And so if you want to have Baba in your heart, but it doesn't mean that you're sentimental. Because being sentimental is very body conscious. But if you can feel the feelings of having Baba in your heart, because he says, if you want to know where I am, I'm in my children's heart. And if you want to know where my children are, they're in my heart. Yeah? So this is also something on the level of feeling, but it's not sentimental. You know? So sentimental is very gross. And this feeling, faith, sensitivity is very subtle. So as we become more and more pure and more experienced, we get to be able to, you know, distinguish that. And Maya comes along at every step to distract you, you know, and get you off track. And this is why we don't do this practice in isolation. We are always to be connected with the center, connected with Madhuban, connected with seniors, because they're experienced and they've already seen so many things and been through so many things. So they can say, ah, yeah, we know what you're talking about. This is going off track. You should be going this way, like that. So there is a measure, but you need time to get to be able to use it well, because this is a very, very subtle instrumentation, you know. Like in science, only those who are very well trained can use particular instruments, and you have to have a whole background for that. In the same way, our instrument is the mind and the intellect, and we need a good number of years behind us to be expert and skilled in the use of these instruments. You know, as Baba says, that your mind, intellect and sanskaras are in the soul, but they are different from the soul. And they are the subtle organs of the soul. Sometimes he says, you must surrender your mind, intellect and sanskaras. So if you give them up, then what's left? So can you experience being a soul without a mind, without an intellect and without any sanskaras? And actually when the soul is in the seed stage, it's kind of like that. And the soul is not thinking, and it's not processing anything. It does, all the sanskaras are merged and you're just the dot, you see. And he's been giving us dot consciousness to practice. Go into stillness, go into silence, because any minute now, you know, we could be exploded by a nuclear bomb. They're not going to tell you in advance. They're not going to say, okay, you have 5 seconds to live, you know, they'll just do it. And all of a sudden you will not know whether you're dead or alive, because it's fast, you know, nuclear bomb. I don't know if you thought about it, but a lot of people will leave their body that way. And so, if you want a question, come up for the mic. Come now. So we have to practice to stop, just like that. You know, the people in the Japanese tsunami, that water came at 800 kilometers an hour. You know, and that's not, that means it took a matter of seconds to cover the 12 kilometers that it went inland, you see. And if you were in the way, you have a microsecond to set yourself, okay, I'm going now. So Baba has said, this is just a little one. Yeah, it was a 9-point earthquake, and he calls it a little one. You know? He said, more to come, and any time, any place, you see. And of course he has said, Baba's children are safe, you know, but we also have to go. So he wants us to practice this over a long period of time so we know what we're doing when the time comes, because you will only have a second to do it. Or if you're in a car accident, you know, bang, you know, it doesn't take much. But we're supposed to be in Baba's remembrance and voluntarily leave our body. You have a second to do that. So you have practice, stop, not have any body conscious ego reaction to things. He gives us practice, practice, practice. Bring yourself to the dot. And only if you do it over a long period of time can you do it like that, unexpectedly and suddenly. Yes.
My question is how we can maintain accurate soul conscious stage when we read Morley privately or we listen to Morley in the class?
I think it depends very much on if you're doing it according to directions. If you listen to the Murli in the class, of course, listening to the Murli directly from Baba in Madhuban is, you know, as good as it can be. And you listen to the Murli in your center through an instrument. And sometimes Baba speaks about listening to the Murli on the tape recorder. So Baba's Murli used to be tape recorded, and then that tape recording would go to different centers, and they would listen to that tape recording. And then the other level is you're listening to the Murli that's broadcast from your center on Skype or on some other technical mechanism. Are there people who have to go to Pandabhavan? So your bus will go in 3 minutes, so if you want to leave, it's okay. Now, if you're too far from the center or whatever it is, and you have an arrangement with the center that you read the Murli privately, then it's always been said you should read it as close to the time when it's read in the center as possible, like 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever it is. And you should be, you know, in that consciousness that I'm reading the Murli, not like, well, having tea, coffee and breakfast and all of this stuff, or in the train or something like this, but really create, as far as possible, an environment which corresponds to what Baba's telling us about, so that you're taking just the maximum elements that you can, and you're not being fast or frivolous or careless about it, and then you'll be in the best, most accurate consciousness. So thank you very much, and we'll just conclude with a moment of silence. Om Shanti.